folks. Welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is
Mr. Matty Juice. What is up, Tommy? Yes, Mister. I am a Mister. You know,
well, how about that?
I'm stating it now for all the people, and my camera is still freezing. if you're watching on YouTube, but episode 57, Tom, this is the Heinz ketchup episode.
Oh, wow.
There we go.
How about
there
that? 57 yep. varieties. we didn't announce our Dr. Pepper episode at 23, but
yeah,
listen, we'll get there. Yep. 123, I don't know. We got a great episode for you all today. We're going to be talking about Windblown, which is, of course, the new game for Motion Twin, famous for Dead Cells, which we are both huge fans of. We're going to give our impressions on early access and, you know, what we think of the game and the future of it and what we look forward to in its 1.0 release whenever that is coming. But before we do that, we got to catch up. What's going on, buddy? How you doing? You had a big weekend.
Yeah, big weekend. I talked about it on the show last week, but Maria and I adopted a puppy. So on Saturday, his name is Pluto. He is a big old dog. He's 9 months old, but he's pretty big. He's going to get bigger. But he is just awesome. He is like so friendly, you know, not a bad bone in his body, and just like just been a lot of fun and very tiring too. Mm. So I've been like passing out basically because the World Series has been on. What happens to me is I'll be watching it, and then all of a sudden I wake up and like a few innings have passed. I'm like, oh, Jesus. I mean, you know, the way it's going, I'm glad I'm missing a little bit of it because it's not going well for the Yankees. But that's been the highlight of the weekend. Haven't really been on the computer at all other than to play Windblown. So, it's been a busy weekend, but we're on day four and he's doing great. He still won't come upstairs though.
When
we first got him to the house, we showed him, you know, he was exploring everything and he did go upstairs, but we gave him a bath, which he was kind of fine with, but I think now he's afraid to go upstairs again.
Yeah.
So I can't really show him on the stream because I am upstairs or on the video. And I am freezing. Is that making you laugh? I'm gonna try to just like always make ridiculous faces if I can. So hopefully at some point he'll be in the background here a little bit. But we're working on it. You know, he's still a puppy, still learning. But yeah, he's the man. Can't wait for you to meet him. You should be meeting him. I think this upcoming weekend.
That is the rumor. Yeah. I have heard that rumor that I'll be meeting him this weekend, which would be very cool. Yeah. I'm excited. Happy for you guys. That old association, the Pavlovian, if you will, that the upstairs means getting wet and getting clean, which, you know, as a kid, I was like, I hate showers. I love them now, right?
Yeah,
but I can empathize with Pluto and you know, I know what it's like, my friend, to not want to get a bath, but you'll get used to it. Now, my weekend was low key, I guess. Got some stuff done. I played it's funny enough, I played a pro quest for Flesh and Blood, which is, to qualify for the Pro Tour. And it was the last one of the season. And the night before, one of our mutual friends, someone that you used to work with, that we played flag football with, John, a.k.a. Sporzy, shout out Sporzy, reaches out and he's like, because there was a big announcement from Magic the Gathering. Magic the Gathering announced this huge thing where they're going to make everything legal and like all of a sudden like you're... Final Fantasy cards will work with the other normal Magic cards and stuff like that, whatever.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter. A lot of people, it really pushed them out of the game even further. I had been out of the game for a long time. Magic, that is. So this pushed, I don't think I'm speaking out of line here, that pushed Sporzy out of the game. And And Flesh and Blood has the best organized play system in trading cards right now. So he picked up some Flesh and Blood, and I guess he had talked to you, and he reached out to me. And then he showed up at my ProQuest because it was 10 minutes away from where he lived. And, you know, we sat and talked, and I should have reached out to him today, but I think he was going to go to a local tournament last night just to like get his feet wet a little bit. So I'm not sure if he did, but that's pretty cool. But happy for him. Happy to have him aboard. Great dude. We also went to the opening of a new brewery near us, and it was the first weekend. And to be honest, I didn't know what to expect. It's like, oh yeah, we'll just swing by opening weekend.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, grab some beers or whatever. And it's like a 15-20 minute drive. So like we went out and we showed up and it was like packed and like a line out the door. And I was like, well, we're not turning around. We're out here. So we ended up waiting in line. It was like probably 15-20 minute wait. Just to get to the bar to grab beers, right?
Yeah.
And the beer was fine. It was pretty good. And it was nice to kind of support another local spot here. And that was kind of cool. And they had a pop-up kind of, not like a true, like, food truck, but like a pop-up thing where they sell hot dogs out of the back of their car, basically, like these like nice gourmet hot dogs. And it was like it's like a little weird, but they were selling these muffaletta hot dogs. And if you don't know what a muffaletta sandwich is, from New Orleans, it's like a mortadella sandwich with like chopped olives and like other pickled vegetables on it. So it was like a hot dog with cheese, mortadella, and like a ton of pickled vegetables on top. It was so good. So that was cool.
Nice.
And then what else happened? Nothing really. Had a rotisserie chicken last night. Pretty
nice.
Good.
Yeah.
From Costco. Best deal.
Dude,
on the
can't
planet.
Beat it.
$5 for a whole chicken.
Yeah. Get a hot dog while you're there. That's a whole day meal.
Yeah.
Multiple.
I will say Lady Fresh was getting a little testy with me towards the end because we were eating the chicken. We still have a ton left over. And I was like, man, this chicken's so good. I'm like, what do you think its name was? It's just like, don't say that. I'm thinking Roger. But that's the week. We got to talk about games, video games.
We do. Plenty of stuff to talk about. What's the biggest news of all, though, Tom?
We got a Discord. It's in the show notes. You should check it out. It's a great place to hang out, submit listener questions, submit games to hopefully check out. I know my boy Gary was popping in there saying we should have checked out Dysomancer, which we ended up not checking out, unfortunately. But I will be probably checking it out when I get a chance. And then I know, actually, shout out to the Turtle Maturin in our Discord as well, who top aided the ProQuest with me on Sunday.
Nice.
So he made it one more match further than me. But I think he lost as well. But shout out.
Yeah, so the turtle does win the race. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
There you go.
But we got to talk about some news. It's mostly Balatro news. We're the Balatro podcast, let's be honest. But the first big one is they announced and released Friends of Jimbo 2, which, if you remember, Friends of Jimbo 1 was a skin release with Among Us, Dave the Diver, Vampire Survivors, and Witcher.
The Witcher?
The Witcher. Yeah. The Witcher. And Friends of Jimbo 2 came out, and it was another CD Projekt Red. Was it Cyberpunk?
Yeah, Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk, Stardew Valley, and Binding of Isaac, which is a big one. And what else? Oh, Slay the Spire. So really just a cool little thing. I know that it would be nice to get the content update that's coming in 2025, but we know it's coming in 2025. But I don't know. I like the skins, especially like games like Slay the Spire and Stardew Valley, which I played a lot of in my day. I never got into Binding of Isaac, although it seems like something I'd like, but pretty neat.
Yeah, this was cool to see. You know, I know, honestly, it's cool that they added some more skins, right? But also expectations were so high when Local Funk teases this. I would almost prefer he didn't tease like Friends of Jimbo updates. I know that just drop them. I feel like that would get people maybe more hyped, because I saw so many predictions. We were talking about it in the Fresh Juice Discord. You know, we were talking about mod support, which apparently there already is. And we, you know, we haven't really explored that. Mm-hmm. And then I was also like, I don't know, more jokers, whatever it is. You know, we were a prestige mode, right? Where like you get sort of harder versions of the stakes that you've already beaten, that sort of stuff. We were kind of tinkering with a bunch of that, but then just ended up being a Friends of Jimbo update, which was cool. You know, I'm using some of the new stuff. I got the Stardew Valley and Slay the Spire stuff going on, which is cool. And I don't know. I like these kind of updates though in general. I think like it's something that I never really thought would happen in a game like Balatro, where I'm just like, oh, you know, it's a 52 card deck, right? Like how different can it really end up looking? But it's cool that they're integrating other indie games in it. It almost, you know, gives me those like Fraymaker vibes, right? Even though some of these aren't indie games, like I don't know if The Witcher considered an indie game. Might be Project Red.
I guess. I mean, maybe they're like probably. No, they can't be. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a huge. They've won Game of the Year. I mean, yeah. Not to say that an indie game can't, but
yeah. But it's cool, you know. I'm happy about it. I would like to see some more, like rather than it just being, you know, like for example, like the Queens, right? I'm looking like you can switch that to like Slay the Spire. When I first saw the Friends of Jimbo update, I thought that like if you chose Slay the Spire, all of your face cards would look like Slay the Spire, or like all of your cards in general would have some sort of art on them. And I would also like if maybe these updates had like a little bit more, maybe when like there's a big combo happening, right? Like the fire's going off, like make it themed to like the set maybe that you're using. But I don't know. I just would like maybe, I'm not complaining, but I would like maybe a little bit more out of these Friends of Jimbo updates that would make it look cool. Maybe even just changing the background, you know, something like that could be kind of cool. It's great that like, yeah, your face cards look a little bit different, but I don't know. I feel like I just want like a little bit more out of them. Is like face cards look cool, but like, I don't know, like animation wise or just like sound wise or something when you play them, maybe it sounds different when they get scored or something like that. Could be cool, but you know, excited to see what they do. I'm sure they're going to be doing more Friends of Jimbo updates. So excited to see what other games pop up on there. Maybe Windblown, you know?
Maybe.
Know. Or some games that we've covered on here. A little Norp Apolog going down.
That'd be sick.
That would be cool. But yeah, in terms of other Balatro news, though, you know, apparently that's what this week is filled with. For those of you who didn't see, I know we were talking about a little bit before the show, but Local Funk, the developer for Balatro, added 30 new jokers to the game when it was in development because he didn't want to correct his publisher PlayStack. So what had happened was he had told his publisher that there were 120 jokers in the game. And then during one of the meetings with the publisher mentioned that there would be 150 jokers. So rather than going and correcting the publisher, he just went back home and made 30 new jokers. And apparently he had no plans for jokers. It's not like he was like, oh, I'll just go in my notebook and like find some jokers I didn't end up adding. He was like, no, I had to like come up with new ideas for jokers. And some of them were actually ones that, you know, people have become pretty attached to that basically would have never been in the game. Campfire was particularly one that a lot of people had brought up. Also like popcorn and baseball card, you know, like some of these that people really enjoy using would not have been in the game. So pretty interesting. Like what a cool thing. I mean, can Local Funk get cooler? This is something that like just came out of nowhere. And I'm just like, man, this guy is awesome. Like it's just so cool.
I mean, it's so relatable. It's almost like a George Costanza thing, except he pulled it off. Right. Like, right. Yeah. And George put 150 jokers in the game. George is like, I did not. Yes, I cooked. Yeah. I did. And then it would have been a disaster in the show, but I'm glad Local Thunk pulled it off. It's so sweet. Yeah, it's just like any lore about this game, like its development is just so cool. Like we talk about it didn't have a story mode. The story mode is the development of this game and kind of like why it's kind of really cementing itself into the indie game like annals of whatever, like stardom, like this, like the Hall of Fame, right? But super cool. Now, something else I wanted to point out as this game come or as this episode comes out, there is a game. It's pretty interesting. Enters closed beta today as you're listening. The Bazaar. It's something that I started following a little bit ago, and then we started to see more gameplay of it. It's from I don't want to mispronounce his name. Raynad.
Raynad.
Yeah, Raynad.
Oh, yeah. I used to watch his streams all the time.
Yeah, Hearthstone guy,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So he kind of left the Hearthstone grind, Hearthstone's not really, I guess, much of a grindable game anymore. But Raynad left, started his own company, started building this game called The Bazaar. And it's going to be a roguelike auto battler deck builder with some PvP elements, which is like super cool. Watch some gameplay of it. Even with Raynad that joined on to, I think it was Raren's channel, who still does a lot of Hearthstone stuff. And they kind of went through like the closed beta and played it. It just seemed like so much fun. It's kind of a interesting take on the roguelike kind of system where each kind of run's going to be different, but you're going to be kind of competing with other people and ranking up and all this other stuff. I think the way you get into the closed beta is you have to buy like a skin pack or something like that.
Oh, okay.
That is like $33. So like if you don't, it goes into open beta in December, but if you're interested, you might be able to get into the closed beta if you plan on getting skins and stuff like that for it anyway. You know, you also get like gems to use and stuff like that. And this is not a sponsored segment whatsoever, but it's something that we're going to keep our eyes on because it for it being kind of this indie endeavor, I will say my initial impressions from what I've seen is like super exciting and could be honestly like a huge player in that kind of like free to play competitive thing that's so totally different than anything we've ever seen that I can tell. So we'll be keeping our eyes on it
for sure. Yeah, that's, you know, it sounds awesome. I know we chatted a little bit before the podcast about it, but I didn't realize it was Raynad. Like I would watch him all the time, like him and Crip. He played
apparently he gave Crip access to the closed beta and has already started like not breaking the game, but like totally wiping the floor with everybody.
Oh, really? Both of them were always pretty impressive, but it's funny because like I always viewed Raynad as like someone that had a good kind of way of thinking about like how games should be designed. So it makes sense to me that he's like doing this. So I'm excited to try it out. I was just taking a look at their website and it looks like you can pre-register to start earning some in-game rewards. So maybe that's skins and stuff like that. So that's free to do as well. So I'm definitely going to do that and I'll check it out probably when it hits open beta. But very cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Raynad.
I would definitely recommend checking out at least some of the gameplay that Raren had posted with Raynad on the stream with him talking about the game. I'll be honest with you, I didn't necessarily like the guy Raren that was streaming. He's just a little too gamer for me, you know, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah. Like, what's up, guys?
Just like,
like that.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't even want
to go ahead. Go bash him.
It's just a little bit. He was not as good of an interviewer as he was a player. So, like, you know, there were times I felt like he was cutting off Raynad, but Raynad was really interesting to listen to and kind of like be like, oh, you know, this is kind of what we tried to solve. He also made a pretty funny comment that's like, and the cool thing about this game, as opposed to Hearthstone Battlegrounds, is if you pay money into it, the money goes to me and not Blizzard. It's like, yeah, I mean, I guess that's like a big thing for people. So yeah. It did look kind of neat.
Yeah, it's actually, I mean, even just looking at some of the gifts on their website, it looks like this is like Hearthstone 2. Like, yeah. Like visually, like, which I love. I've always loved like their art style. So don't want to harp on Bizarre too much, but this looks really cool. I'm down to check this out, and I'm sure we'll talk about it in a future ep.
Absolutely. But we got to talk about Wind Blown. And are we wind blown away by this game? So let's talk about it. Motion Twin put out, Dead Cells years ago at this point. I remember the small little booth they had at TwitchCon, you know, years ago when we went, and now like, or, and then the years after at PAX East, they would have a giant castle for Dead Cells. And that was pretty neat. Yeah. Now they are starting their, you know, early access of their second game, Windblown. I don't know if it's their second game, but their second big game here. Right. And you brave the vortex and dash your way to greatness in this lightning-fast action roguelite for 1 to 3 players from the crafters of Dead Cells. Absorb the powers of fallen warriors, rebuild their weapons, and wipe the floor with those sentinels in search of that perfect run. Matt, I'll let you take it away with the gameplay. Yeah. Talk about it.
Yeah, so this is, to me, even though it is in early access, this is like the definition of tight gameplay. Really just feels great. So you're going to be kind of starting out, you know, well, you know, it does change as you play, but it's this isometric kind of view, think of like Diablo style. And it's also kind of like Hades-esque in terms of like how the gameplay feels. And yeah, it has mixes of kind of Dead Cells as well, in terms of really just like the way the combat feels, I would say, overall. But yeah, you kind of have this isometric view, and you're in this, you start in this world that's kind of these floating islands, and you're really just kind of hopping around exploring. You're really utilizing your dash when you're playing this game, which one thing about the gameplay that I love is that there doesn't seem to be a cooldown with your dash, so, because you're using it to traverse the land as well. So you're using it during combat, but you're using it to go and open up pots to get some resources. Then you're also using it to dodge enemies, things like that, which just makes it feel like really tight, really crisp kind of gameplay. And I just really enjoyed the way this game felt. The combat, I thought overall, was pretty good. Now, it is early access, so I did have a few instances where it, you know, the hitboxes were maybe a little bit odd, you know, things like that. But overall, the combat, I thought, felt snappy. It reminded me so much of like Dead Cells in terms of like the pacing of like, okay, like how you need to deal with certain enemies based on their different attacks. And then, you know, they do a great job as well, making each run really feel different. You know, obviously it's a roguelike, right? So like you're going to be choosing different paths and different upgrades like during your runs. But there are also things that you can unlock permanently as well. And there are things like, you know, getting a random weapon or a random equipment item at the beginning of your run, you know, so that changes how you kind of behave as you go through your run. There's different like perks as well. Like, for example, there's one where every time you dash, it like leaves goo behind that can like freeze an enemy. So you can kind of get these like, they kind of like passive perks that activate based on abilities. And yeah, just overall with the gameplay, I just really enjoyed how satisfying it was to play. One thing that also really kind of, I don't really know, I was trying to think if I've experienced this in another game, but when you go into like a combat instance, you don't necessarily need to stay where that combat is happening, because the enemies will follow you. They'll teleport kind of up and down. There's like interesting verticality in the gameplay where you can literally like dash up and down mountains, which makes it feel really smooth. But what was great about like the combat scenarios was that you don't get the rewards until the combat encounter is finished. So like you'll notice that things drop on the ground, but you don't actually like go and pick them up. So there's not really a way for you to, you know, just maybe target specific enemies on a run and then kind of skip past certain parts, because there are enemies that are like technically, I guess, optional, but you will not be able to get their rewards unless you kill all the enemies in that combat area. So I don't know. I've never really played. I couldn't really think of anything that like basically made me wait to get the rewards that were, I know, are just kind of sitting there. Typically, you know, when I'm playing a game like this, if there's a lot of enemies, I might just go and target a few of them so I can get to the next room. Right. And I'll pick up the rewards as they're dropped. But this one, I really was like, I killed every single enemy. Like I did, there was nothing where I just ignored an enemy. There are certain enemies that you come across that are just like, you know, if you sneezed on them, they would die. Right. Like they're just super easy. I went for all of them, which you don't really necessarily need to, but I just enjoyed that. Like, it felt so rewarding when you completed a combat encounter, and we're watching a kind of a mini boss on the screen right here. That's a fun encounter as well. And this one in particular, obviously you can see that there's a wall that's blocking, you know, your progress. So these types of enemies you need to defeat, but there are some that are optional. So overall, I just really enjoyed like the snappiness and, the pacing of the combat in the game. So I give the gameplay like a really strong A, and I think like if things can be a little bit more fine tuned in terms of like hitboxes, once the game fully comes out, like I can see this, just the gameplay really being what like, kind of gets people to keep coming back to this game. Cause that's the whole thing with roguelikes, right? It's like, you want to keep coming back. The gameplay, the core gameplay is like the best part of the game, in terms of the categories that we, you know, cover. But yeah, what do you think about the gameplay, Tom?
No, I mean, this was super smooth, right? Like right away you start dashing around, you're like, wow, this feels great. And then you kind of get used to the controls. And as someone who played a lot of Dead Cells, it felt like a lot of Dead Cells in like a totally new realm, which like leads me to believe that like, or like to kind of guess is that like they wanted to make Dead Cells 2. And then realized they wanted to do something. They didn't want to do Dead Cells again, right? They're like, I love side-scrolling Metroidvanias, right? And Dead Cells, one of the best. And there are just certain limitations that you have when you're playing and designing a side-scroller, right? And a lot of those limitations come in combat. And this is where this game really shines, is the combat really like requires such a interesting level of skill and wherewithal, especially when you're kind of attacking with your main weapon and then trying to combo. I forget what the term they use, where you can do, if you execute a certain amount of attacks with your main weapon, you can press the other weapon's button, your secondary, to do like a special attack, right? And vice versa. You can do the secondary weapon a certain amount of times in a row, and then you can press it'll give you like a little indicator. And these are really powerful things to do. However, the timing is tough, right? So you can't just spam it. You have to read what your enemy's doing, and you have to like be able to tell if you're going to have time to even do something that powerful, or you're going to have to like try to win the old fashioned way with like regular dodging and attacking. But you have this kind of ceiling of being able to just pull off something really cool, which I think is something that makes this game really shine, is that you can be doing, it could just feel like a hack and slash, you know, it could have fell into that, but then this huge like level of wow factor with the things that you could do with your weapons, with the what do they call them, items, like you have
like tactical items or something, tactical items, whatever, like they're bombs. Trinkets, I think they're called trinkets.
Basically the exact same like loadout I think you had in Dead Cells, and it is really cool. And I also like the thing that you mentioned about having to destroy all the enemies before you get your rewards. in a lot of ways, it feels like a, because it's not like Hades in the fact that you go from room to room, because it's a kind of a flu. You could technically just outrun your enemies, but you're not going to get any rewards. But they will try to chase you. But they kind of not fixed it, but like they're like, oh, what if we do the room thing in Hades, but it's still in a fluid kind of linear map system, right? Yep. And they kind of did that. So I really like that. The hitbox thing's kind of interesting. It took a lot of getting used to. I definitely agree with you there. But I didn't really have any serious notes here. It's, you know, we'll get into some stuff with the performance, but it is early access. But yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to the story, though, because this is also a bigger leap from the Dead Cells story. Kind of, there was a lot more mystery involved with Dead Cells. And I mean, we might as well compare it to Dead Cells because there's a lot of similarities here. But you kind of have these animal-like characters. Not even animal-like. They're all named after different animals. and there are, I guess, these like ancient warriors. And to be honest, I didn't get a lot out of the story so far. This is not really, personally to me, a what do you call it? The type of genre I'm into. This feels very Xenoblade, kind of Final Fantasy IV or whatever, Final Fantasy VII-esque in terms of like the entire vibe. And it's just not something that's going to grab me like something like Dead Cells with that like kind of Castlevania vibe and dark fantasy and stuff like this. This is a lot brighter and a little bit more lighthearted, which there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't necessarily mean it's not my thing, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. But it seems like a fully fleshed out story mode, or not story mode, but like a story that you kind of are progressing through with a bunch of different characters that you can talk to at the home base. After you die and before you go on another run. But, you know, I'll be interested to see if the story kind of changes and the entire vibe of the game changes as we get to 1.0. But currently it's not like something that I'm super into and not super invested in. But to be honest, it's just not necessarily my vibe. But the gameplay is more than enough to keep me kind of coming back, so I'm not going to really count the story against it.
Yeah, I also think, you know, I agree with some of the points there. Like, it's an early access as well. Like, who knows how the story will get more fleshed out? Will there be more kind of cutscenes, things of that nature that really help tell a better story? Because, you know, really, at least from what I experienced, I think I played a few hours of it, but you know, you're on like this floating island and, you know, you meet, there's obviously different NPCs like Tommy mentioned that you can chat with, and then you just kind of hop into a run and they kind of try to set up, you know, a bit of a story there. Even when you're actually in runs, you can like rescue people and send them back to the like main hub area. And then, there were some people that like didn't show up when, that I found that didn't show up in the main hub. So maybe that hasn't been added yet, but there were other people that did. And you know, sometimes their dialogue can be like interesting because you're like, oh, why were you out there? You know, like, you know, whatever it might be. But I was actually kind of getting a little bit of like Zelda vibes, like modern Zelda, right? With like the way the characters kind of talk and especially with like the way they emphasize certain things. Like one of them that shows you like the cannon that like starts your guns. He's like, he's an ass, basically. Oh, it's so easy. You don't know how to use this. Like, I pictured like people in Zelda that I just hate because they act like that, you know, especially like, you know, the modern Zeldas like Breath of the Wild. we run across those sort of people, or even like Skyward Sword, which I was getting Skyward Sword vibes, obviously, from this too, just because you're on a floating island. And, you know, kind of almost has the similar aesthetic as well. But yeah, I wasn't really like super into the story. I mentioned before, I'm not a big dialogue guy in games that I am not, you know, I'm not playing it for the story. You know, in a game like The Last of Us or Gears of War. Like, I'm always looking at the dialogue there and interested in it. But for a game like this, I'm not really too interested. So I did skip through a lot of the dialogue. I just kind of pressed my way through because I just wanted to get back to another run because the gameplay is so good. So yeah, I would say, like, you know, even though it is early access, they could improve the story. If you're looking for an interesting story out of this game, it's just not really there. You know, it's something that's just kind of, I feel like, filling up a gap, right? So that they have, they could say, oh, we at least have like a story in the game. But it's not really the main reason I would play this game. Again, unless they really improve it, you know, with 1.0, which we've seen with some other games. But, you know, well, I really don't think they're going to be focusing on that too much. But hey, Dead Cells did make them a ton of money. So who knows? They might be invested, you know, a lot into the story for this one. Not too sure. But I do think, you know, I know we're talking about the art. The art is a really strong point. What did you think about the art? At least in my opinion, it's a strong point.
Yeah. You know, I kind of mentioned that this, like, isn't necessarily my vibe, but I can't deny this is a beautiful looking game with really cool character design. I kind of love like the choosable characters, I guess, as the selectable characters that we have. I like how different they are and very similar in a way. It doesn't feel like you're actually playing too much of a different, it's more of like a skin in a way, but I do like that when you're going through, certain ones give certain buffs, like when you meet their ghosts or whatever it is. But it just is a beautiful looking game. The environments are really well made and different as you go from biome to biome, and really doesn't feel like you're leaving the world, right? They all are still within that kind of motif of this, you know, Breath of the Wild-esque, Xenoblade Chronicles-esque thing, like of kind of being ancient and electric and steampunky at the same time, is, I guess, not steampunky, more not cyberpunky, maybe ancient punk. I don't even know what you would call this, but it's like kind of ruins punk. We'll call it that. I don't know if we're creating
this ruins punk.
Yeah, no, this it doesn't game. Ruins punk. Punk was already dead. But like, it all feels like it belongs in this world. Even when you change biomes and you go to the new biomes and they still feel different than the previous biome. So big fan of everything. Really like the menus here and kind of, and some, this is something that, Dead Cells did really well as well. Right, you look at your different buffs that you can pick up or your different weapons, and they make it clear, like, this is going to give you this buff and it's color coded for whatever this buff is or whatever this extra effect is. This is burning, this is poison, yada yada yada, and it looks great. I think this game looks great. There's certain things that I'm sure will be cleaned up by 1.0, but like there's, you know, just some weird stuff with the character animations I found at the home base, mostly the main hub, but game looks great.
100%. Yeah, I'm right there with you. You know, the environment looks awesome. As you know, when you switch biomes, you know, the first biome you're in is kind of like that hub area, right? With those like kind of floating, like you mentioned, sort of ancient punk islands. And then, yeah, you move to like a factory area, and that's just really cool looking. It kind of reminds me of Factorio, the game that I've never played, actually, but it's like a kind of like an automation sort of game, similar to Satisfactory, which recently came out. It kind of just gives me kind of vibes of that and that factory area, obviously Factorio factory. But what I really enjoyed, though, overall with the art in the game is the enemies. I thought that, you know, each one as soon as you see them, as you know, if you've experienced them before, you know what their attack set is, right? Like this ball one here that turns into like the turret, right, and rolls at you. Like, I just think that looks so great. And you know, that's on the YouTube stream here, but I really enjoyed the enemy design overall. I think that they did a good job establishing different looks for the enemies in terms of like their different move sets. And then even when you go to a different biome, they did a good job kind of varying the enemies, even though there's still the similar kind of level of them, of like easy ones and, you know, medium and hard ones. You know, they still had enough variance in the art for all of the you know, different enemies in the different biomes. I'm not sure. I actually only got through, like, I couldn't beat the factory biome, so I don't know what comes next in terms of art after that. And I also really enjoyed the weapons as well. I thought each one, you know, icon wise, you know, you don't get confused at all when it's in your hot bar. They also look different when they actually drop, so you kind of know immediately what they are before you even look at like the tooltip for them. And I kind of curious, like, what combo of weapons, because we mentioned earlier in the gameplay side that you can, there's that cool kind of weapon switch move that you can do. What combo of weapons did you end up using the most or like the most with that kind of swap?
So the main thing I really liked was the staff as your secondary weapon that kind of like would shoot like beams. I don't know if it was a buff on mine, but it would like give burning, and then would give crit to things that were already burning. And then I was doing it with like a big long sword or whatever. I forget what the name of it was, like Dragon Blade or something like that. And you go, you know, shing, 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 and then like you'd press the thing and you do like a big blast of like energy balls left or front and behind you. And then the other way around, like the vice versa version of that, was you would shoot a bunch of beams, and then you would do like a kind of helicopter attack with your sword, which was pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
I also messed around a little bit with the katars, I think. The little quick daggers. Those were pretty cool too. But I was sticking to mostly like that kind of like long sword staff combo.
Nice. Yeah, I also, I was a big fan of the staff. I actually use it as my primary.
Oh.
And my secondary, I use the crossbow.
Oh.
And I really never used the crossbow as like the main weapon and like would switch to the staff. So I didn't even know that was the special attack for the staff, because I had never had done it. But what was great about the crossbow being secondary is that when you switch to it, the crossbow like inherently is like a crit damage weapon. So it does this like big crit damage attack. And I was like just cleaning things up, and it just felt super satisfying. But I know that's more on the gameplay side. Yeah, the beat bolt there. Actually, the guy just got it right on the screen there. But also this gameplay, I forgot to mention, is from Full Through YouTube channel. So feel free to check that out. But yeah, art wise, you know, getting off track there with the weapons, but the weapons do look great. I really like the neon kind of vibe that the game has as well, where it kind of plays a little bit with the contrast. It is a pretty bright game, but I do find that the neon still sticks out a good amount. And then, yeah, everything with the menus was great as well. You know, easy to understand. No real issues with any of the menus. It's just they're very simple. I guess I would say the only kind of critique I would have with the art, because I, you know, I do enjoy like the dark kind of aesthetic games as well, but I also, I'm a fan of like these brighter games too. Like, I don't really mind the art style too much, but I would say it would be great if, maybe the passive abilities were a little bit easier to know, or that they're like happening. So like, for example, the goo one, I know I'm explaining this poorly, but like the goo one, when you dash, it like leaves a little bit of goo when you're like near an enemy. I kind of felt like I was like, you know, cause everything is moving so quickly that I would like that to be a little bit more noticeable when that actually happens. I just kind of found that, like, I was like, did that actually go off? Did it not go off? And then, you know, all of a sudden like the enemies are dead. So it wasn't really a big issue with that one, but I can see other passive abilities that are maybe more important not really being super noticeable. So that would be my little critique of the art, is just it would be nice to know when like those perk abilities went off more often, because everything with the weapons and the trinkets, super easy to you know, tell the differences between them and when they go off with the goo bombs and the actual bombs that you can throw and all that sort of stuff. So I just had that little issue with the perks as far as like not knowing when they trigger. But that's really it from the art side of things.
Yeah. And then we kind of get to the sound. So the sound was pretty interesting for me because I think the sound effects were great, right? This is a great sounding game. Very satisfying. Going through and getting the currency, or one of the two currencies, because you get these little golden seashells and then these like red cogs. But when you're kind of going through the map getting the golden seashells, you're just breaking a lot of pots, not unlike something like Legend of Zelda, which is always a pretty fun thing to do. So that all sounded good. And then the soundtrack was a little weird for me because I think I liked it 50% of the time. Because sometimes you get like a really intense banger, but I am a little weird about like some games, and I think this is kind of one of them, where I don't want a lot of vocals in the music, right? And I like, if you're going to have vocals in the music, I kind of want it to be purposeful, not unlike the game Laika, or I think the Cub was similar, where like you would have like kind of a radio system or something like that. This felt like it should have just been like instrumental, right? And it just wasn't, some of it just wasn't for me, and I was just not a huge fan of it. But that was a nice freeze frame there.
I know, I was laughing at myself. I was like licking my lips.
You're really missing it if you're only listening on Spotify, folks. But I don't know. I was just like hit or miss on the soundtrack, but the sound effects itself, pretty great.
Totally. The sound effects were awesome. Really satisfying. Like breaking those pots is just, you know, I'm going out of my way just to break like a single pot because like of the dopamine hit, right? It just sounds great. My issue with the soundtrack, because I didn't mind it. Like I didn't mind like the words and stuff like that. That was fine with me. I do agree. Like, I don't think it's necessary. I would have been totally happy if they weren't there. But I kind of thought the soundtrack looped too often, which is weird because maybe it's because of the vocals in there. I remember hearing the same vocal like chorus again and again. So maybe if they weren't there, I wouldn't have noticed that it actually looped. But it's probably not a short track by any means. It wasn't like some other games we played where it's just like, you know, mayhem in your head. But I just kind of, at least for how quickly I was going through the levels, I was like, I wish the soundtrack was a little bit longer, but it wasn't really a big issue though overall. And, you know, it could also be a symptom of early access. You know, maybe they'll be adding more tracks, right? I'm sure they will be as they, you know, build out the game. But I did enjoy the different soundtracks as you move to the different biomes though. That was obviously expected at this point in where we are with games, but good to see that they did that. You know, sound effects were good, but I would say this is like a medium like likeness for me, where I didn't hate it, didn't love it. It was just kind of, you know, filling up the void, and it definitely didn't take away from the game, for me, even with it looping as often that it did. But it's just something you might notice, especially after doing like multiple runs in a row. You're going to be like, okay, like, this soundtrack loops more often than I would like it to. But that was really the only kind of issue I had with the sound.
Yeah. And then getting to the performance, it's always kind of weird to talk about performance on an early access game. There's definitely moments of like a lot of drop frames and some clunkiness, but it's one of those things I wouldn't expect anything less, especially with as much going on in this game. So like, beware, you know, if you want to hop in on early access, I fully expect it to be kind of ironed out by 1.0, but it's worth noting.
Yeah, totally agree. You know, there's little kind of weird glitches here and there. Even actually at like the hub, I had some graphical glitches. where like the islands would just like disappear when you looked at a certain angle, but it was nothing that affected like me having to talk with like NPCs or anything like that. So it didn't really get in the way, but it's definitely just a, you know, again, a symptom of early access. And yeah, pretty confident, you know, they'll iron out some of this stuff. But the important part is that the gameplay itself didn't have like game breaking bugs that I came across. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's still enjoyable. You can, there's still a decent amount of replayability there. But you know, if it's anything like Dead Cells, they'll iron out all like the kinks before launch and, should hopefully have a good release. Also, just, I did look up to see Motion Twins, development history, and this is their second game, ever. So at least, based on the Steam, developer list here. At least games released on Steam, I guess, but, I would be pretty confident saying that Dead Cells was their first launch. So, yeah, but. Now it's time for those ratings, Tommy.
It is time for those ratings, and our ratings are as follows. Your S tier is Certified Fresh Juice, followed by a steal, get on sale, manager special, and something you don't want anybody to have or drink. Spoiled milk. Matt, do you want me to go first?
Or
do you
want me to go? Go ahead.
So I really enjoyed my time with this game, and I am very excited for what is to come. Also with this game, it's a very, very well done roguelike here, and I am super excited to kind of see like the finished product. You know, this is early access game. As it stands, I don't think I can give it a true Certified Fresh Juice for me. However, it is as solid of a steal as you're going to get. This is going to be a great experience. If you want to hop in now, I fully expect this to get closer, if not fully eclipse the Certified Fresh Juice tag at 1.0 release. But as it stands now, this is a great early access game. If you want to get in early, play something that you kind of felt like that you really got in and wet your feet a little bit, it is a great option for people. And especially if you liked Dead Cells or Hades or anything else like that, I would check out this game.
Yeah, I am. I'm right there with you. I'm giving this a steal. The Motion Twin knows how to make a game at this point, right? Like Dead Cells was not a one-hit wonder by any means. Like this game feel like I'm so excited for whatever they come out with next, because this game feels so great and it's in early access. It also shows me that they know when to release a game in early access. They're not doing it too early by any means. Like there's plenty to love here. So yeah, I can also see this being bumped up to a Certified Fresh Juice with 1.0 release. I'm planning to play more of it. I want to hop in and see how far I can go. I want to see if there's I'm sure there is a biome after the factory, but I just want to see what it is. And yeah, I had a ton of fun with this one. Also, I don't know if we mentioned this, but this is a co-op game as well.
Oh, yeah, it is co-op.
So it is 1 to 3 players. I only played solo.
Yeah, I only played solo as well.
So we need to play together at some point because I need to see what that experience is like. But, yes, it has online co-op. so that's also, I guess, you know, from our perspective, it's good to know that this game is enjoyable solo, right? I think... that is a big part as well. I can't believe I forgot to mention that it was co-op, but Dead Cells wasn't co-op at all. So this is also Motion Twin experimenting with how does a co-op roguelike work. And if it's anything like the solo gameplay, I think it's going to work great, especially like the boss fights. I can just see being so much fun. But yeah, anyway, long story short, I'm giving this a steal. That could easily be bumped up to a Certified Fresh Juice come release.
Amen, amen. I am excited for what's to come. Now, it is the end of October. Tomorrow's Halloween. And hopefully you're all getting spooky. What was your best game of October?
My best game of October is going to be this game. because it's technically... Yeah, so this releases on the 30th, so that still counts, right?
Yeah, it sure does.
I am gonna say probably Windblown. Halls of Torment was very close. very close, but there's just something about Windblown that really grabbed me, I would say, overall. But Halls of Torment, still love it. That's a very close second. But I just feel like, I don't know, I just enjoyed Windblown a bit more at the start. What about you, Tom?
I think Halls of Torment is going to edge out Windblown a little bit for me.
Yeah.
I think Halls of Torment was like something a little bit that's more itchy, scratchy of Tommy, if that makes sense.
So, oh, okay. All right. I guess that's
what you want to say. Yeah, Halls of Torment, I still love that game. And I'm excited to see where Windblown goes, but I think I gotta give it to the old Halls of Tea, you know?
All right. I'm noting it down right here.
Noting it down. Now we
this is the first month that we have not agreed on the best game.
Oh, surprise.
Year, so.
You gave Halls of Torment a certified fresh juice.
I know. Yeah. It's really just because this is in early access. If it was 1.0, it would be a certified, like, for sure. And sure, that would be, you know, I guess I just didn't expect to like this game as much. I really enjoyed Halls of Torment, but I also do feel like it has a limit on like the content that's in it. Like, I don't think there's going to be a lot more added. I'm so excited for the future of Windblown I don't know. Yeah, just kind of edged it out a little bit, but it's a tough one. I mean, it was overall a pretty good month though. I mean, we really only played one game that we weren't crazy about, and that was Anima Flux, right? Yeah. So, you know, Magic Archery, fine, free to play, hard to argue, and then Kill Knight was a good time as well. So pretty good October, you know, pretty good one.
Yeah, and we'll see what November's like. We're going to have to probably stack up some episodes for the week of my wedding, maybe. I'm not sure. We'll figure it out, folks. Yeah. You guys don't have to worry about it. Next week, we're probably playing Sulfur, which is now out in early access. So it's going to be a big early access period for us. But we do have listener questions. The first one comes from Capolo, who asked, which YouTube or TV show would you like to have a video game adaptation? And what game genre would it be?
This is an interesting one. I'm trying to think of TV shows that I've really been enjoying that aren't a video game. Maybe I've been watching Slow Horses. Which is a pretty cool kind of MI6. It's like the CIA, right? I don't know how many people know what MI6 is, but the Slow Horses are basically like the rejects of the MI6. They've messed up in their career, so they're kind of pushed to the side in this like terrible kind of office building. And Gary Oldman is like their boss, and he's just like a disgusting man or whatever. So I don't know. I think it could be kind of cool to have a game based on that, because apparently it's a novel. So it's apparently one of the best book to screen adaptation TV shows, at least from what I've been talking with some people about. So that's pretty interesting. But as a game, I don't know, thinking something like some sort of story about one of the slow horses. And like it kind of like a spy sort of game, adventure game, right? Maybe it's something similar to, I don't know, Watch Dogs-esque with a little bit of like L.A. noir kind of vibe to it. So I don't know. Yeah, something like that could be interesting because the story is really good, and it would definitely be a like narrative driven game. But yeah, also I find it interesting, Capolo, you said YouTube show. I have not heard someone say YouTube show before. Is that like a new term people are saying? Like, I guess there's shows on YouTube, huh?
Well, Capolo's Gen Z, so you just don't know.
Ah, okay. So I just dated myself a little bit, other than the hair.
Comment
below,
Capolo, if you're Gen Z. I mean, this is a YouTube show.
I choose this.
Fresh and it's a
video game.
I think I love the show Dark on Netflix, the German show. One of the best, if not like the best time travel show, sci-fi shows I've ever seen. And you know, it's one of those shows that like starts out, people had kind of like compared it to the German Stranger Things, and there are some similarities, and then it totally is not, right? This is a lot heavier. It's not like happy-go-lucky, and it's got like this real intense time travel element to it that is so interesting and I think so well done. So I'd want it to be a game, you know, something really unique, like a deck builder roguelike. Now, but like some kind of narrative roguelike would be kind of interesting, right? Rather than like kind of, because it's not super action packed, but like the idea of like having to basically, there's this one place that you can kind of go to a certain point in time at that one place, and then you can come back to, you know, that other time. It's like a almost like a wormhole. So the idea of being able to be like, I need to go back to like do something, almost like click. Yeah, yeah. Or, I was gonna say, like,
but you can actually do something.
Yeah, yeah, Groundhog Day or something like that, right? Like where Groundhog Day is essentially a movie roguelike, right? That's what it is. Yeah. And
I'm quoting that from this episode.
So like, I think that'd be kind of cool. Just be like, all right, I need to do things perfect in the past to make the current future what it needs to be. So you keep going back and like going and then coming back, going back, coming back. And you're like, oh, I messed something up. I got to go back again. And I think that'd be kind of fun. So great question, Capolo. Yeah.
It would be cool.
K-more asked, going to play any spooky games for Halloween or maybe watch a movie of some sort?
For Halloween, honestly, we usually will watch like Charlie Brown Halloween, you know, that's on. But as far as spooky games, I've talked about it on stream for years. I don't like playing scary games because they scare the shit out of me, basically. Like, I just don't, and I don't want to be filmed while I'm getting the shit scared out of me. I've tried it on stream. I just, you know, because not every game, but most scary games are jump scares, right? Mm-hmm. You're not really going to get like a really like scary story. Like you would through a movie that maybe is just like a psychologically scary game. You have games like Alan Wake and things like that, but they don't really, those sort of games don't really like scare me from the bit I played of them. But so no spooky games. But as far as a movie, we also like to watch Harry Potter around this time. I know that's not like a scary movie, but it's also a good Christmas time movie too. But
Halloween happens in it. I mean, it's a whole school year, so I mean, I guess you're kind of covering,
all the
things.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then I don't know. We'll watch like Halloween or Halloween Town. Both of those, usually, you know, if they're on. Is one of those the ones with the sisters? Which one was that called? With like
Hocus Pocus. Witch-
Hocus Pocus, yeah. Maria likes that one quite a bit. I'm not, it's okay. It's fine. But sometimes that one as well. But really, you know, we don't really like watch all those. Like we'll just like pick one usually, but there's not really like a tradition we have. Anything like that on Halloween, which some people have. But what about you, Tommy? What are you doing on the 31st here?
Well, I don't know. We'll probably watch something. We watched a scary movie last night called Stop Motion. It was pretty interesting. We have Shudder. So like we could just...
Something I would never subscribe to.
I don't even subscribe to it. I steal it from my sister. But, you know, it's but it's so cool. There's so many horror movies on there, and I love a good horror movie. So we'll probably do something like that. I don't know if I'll play any spooky games. You know, I'll maybe boot up Halls of Torment on my phone. That's kind of spooky, right?
Yeah. What is the scariest game that you've played? Because I feel like we've never really talked about like horror games that you've played before.
I played Slender Man.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, same.
Like, I think that might have been it. I don't really go for them either.
Yeah.
Not because I'm scared or anything. No, just because like it's just not what I gravitate towards. But like,
yeah,
if you find a scary deck builder roguelike, I'm all over it. Don't worry about it. So
they get thrown a bone.
But yeah, we'll probably watch something on Halloween as well. Pop, like maybe a classic horror movie on or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, some John Carpenter or which I'm going to be talking about some John Carpenter in the rec room. But thanks for the question, Kaymore. And then RCarp11 asks, if you could have a cup of coffee with any video game character, who would it be and why? I guess it doesn't have to be a cup of coffee, but maybe like sit down for dinner or something like that.
All right. A dinner, huh?
Wait, living or dead? No.
Let's see. What video game character would I choose to sit down to dinner with? Because some of them are like, you know, even games I like, right? Like I'm thinking like Gears of War. I don't know if I want to sit down with any of them. Like, it'll be very intimidating. What do I talk about, you know? So, you guys kill anyone lately? So, I don't know. Maybe, like, someone from, like, The Last of Us. Like, a person, you know? I don't know. Or I could just choose someone ridiculous, like Mario. You know, I'll be sit down with him and try to have a conversation. You know, if it's like him in the movie, then sure, I'll sit down with him and have a conversation. So, I don't know. That's a tough one. What are you thinking here, Tom?
Just off the top of my head, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, Samus Aran. No. I don't. I don't know. To be honest with you, I think. Maybe, like, it's so hard to think of someone cool that wouldn't just kill me or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, maybe, like, one of the cooler Pokemon.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
Not really talking to them, but, like, they're just there. I'm like, I look at this Pokemon. That would be pretty sweet. Yeah. Oh, wait a second. It's got to be one of the villagers from Animal Crossing, right?
Like,
think of your favorite villager, or even like, you don't want to be with Tom Nook. What am I talking about?
No.
Maybe Brewster.
You're all going to be talking like,
I don't know. Donkey Kong? Yeah. No. I don't think Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough because, like, there's not really, I don't know, the games we play, like, it's not like we're playing, like, these chill, easy-to-talk-to characters. It's always, like, some, you know, abstract sort of character, like a Kirby, or like some tough, you know, demonic character or something like that, you know? Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, I'm just looking even at games we played. The dude from Angerfoot. That'd be crazy. Yeah, I don't know. One of the dwarves from Boar Blasters, if you want to kind of like throw it back to like something we've played. Kind of cool. A dwarf.
Yeah, true.
Anything dwarf related would be kind of neat. The little blob from Animal Well. Kind of cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
The wizard with a gun. Hopefully leaves the gun at home.
Yeah, it's true. Leisure Suit Larry, you know?
There you go. I mean, thank you for the question, though, RCarp. You're the best. Let's get to the rec room. What do you have to recommend this week?
So I'm just going to recommend adopting a pet. There you go.
Sure.
Because it's a good thing to do. And when we adopted Pluto this weekend, there was like 11 other dogs with him in there. And most of the people that were there at the meetup spot were fosters. So those people were awesome, you know, because they just foster pets that need it all the time. So I would say, you know, what do they say? Adopt, don't shop. You know, if you go buy a dog new, whatever, it's a dog you need, whatever, you know, the dog's happy. But I would say always look at adoption first, you know, whether any kind of pet, you know, whatever it is, something that needs help, right? So there you go. That's the rec room. Go out there. And consider it, maybe.
Now, a question on the... You didn't choose the dog's name.
No. So, technically, his full name is Pluto Mars.
Okay.
But we just call him Pluto because... But he had actually had... He had another family, and he got too big for them. They weren't able to, like, deal with his size. And so they might have named him or the foster. I'm not really too sure. But yeah, we just typically, I mean, unless his name is like Adolf or something, you know, something that I'm like, I wouldn't want my dog to be called that. Then we change the name.
Yeah,
right.
That'd be brutal.
But yeah. Oh, what's his name? You know, so I wouldn't want to something like that. But we typically, yeah, like if we're adopting, we kind of discuss that we'll just keep the name, whatever it is. So, yeah. Good question, though, Tom. Thanks for submitting it.
I just thought like it was kind of interesting because you're a big Psych fan, and there's always that like
yes
Pluto reference. So
yeah, that was the first thing I brought up when we like submitted the application form. I was like, yes, like it's like a Psych reference now.
Yeah,
yeah. And also, it's funny because he is like super goofy, like a very goofy dog.
There you go.
And I was like, perfect name, Pluto and Goofy. There you go. We'll probably dress him up as Pluto, and I'll be Goofy for Halloween next year or something.
And I'll be Donald Duck.
There you go.
And dress
come
like him
over.
Too. No pants.
nice.
My recommendation.
What do you reckon?
Oh, I'm recommending a horror movie. My favorite horror movie, horror sci-fi, whatever. The Thing by John Carpenter. This is unfortunately a movie that kind of bombed when it came out. It's starring Kurt Russell. And it is honestly a masterclass in like paranoia and even just practical effects, right? They used to just do practical effects back in the 80s, right? And even 90s. And now we've moved to all CGI. And to be honest, the CGI had gotten good and then got worse. If people see a lot of those comparisons, like if you look at the CGI in the second Pirates of the Caribbean, it looks way better than any recent film that's been out. But all that aside, but if you want to watch premium practical effects, really cool stuff happening, it's not like a jump scare movie either. Like it, like I think it's something you'd really like too, Matt.
Okay.
It's sci-fi, aliens, paranoia, Kurt Russell being a badass. Kind of an open-ended ending too that's still satisfying in a way, because you're just like, because there's only like one of three options of what could happen, what really just happened at the end, which is really cool. It takes place in Antarctica, so it's like kind of got that cold vibe and just like dark, scary,
yeah,
cool stuff happening. And honestly, I usually watch it like once a year. I might even put that on Halloween. We'll see. But it's just a banger of a film. Banger, banger, banger. And John Carpenter had one of the best stretches as a director ever. You know, he made Halloween, The Thing, Prince of Darkness, I think around the same time. I'm trying to remember what else he had in that same streak, but he had like five banger movies like in a row. And Escape from New York. Yes. Another
there
Kurt
you go.
Russell banger. just a good time. So check it out, folks.
Yeah. This is the Fantastic Four spinoff, right?
it is. Well, it actually is technically a remake, The Thing. But
like, oh, okay.
It's more like inspired by the Thing that came from outer space movie that was like in the early 50s.
Gotcha.
But this is a totally different film, really. But
cool. Yeah, I'll check it out. I mean, I looked it up. It looks pretty cool. I feel like I've probably seen clips from this movie too.
Yeah.
Just seems very like iconic, mm-hmm. like the way it looks. Or at least I've seen things that's inspired by it, right? Or something like that.
Like if you're fans of The Hateful Eight, I think that's like basically just The Thing. It's just like Quentin Tarantino making love to The Thing on not to The Thing, but to the idea of The Thing. Anyway,
okay.
That's going to do it for the show and probably the whole podcast ever. No. You can continue to find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Fresh Buds Pod. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds. Upload weekly. Good time over there. Maddie, where can people find you?
Find me at Maddie Gorm, G-O-R-M. I am trying to stream, make some videos as well on my YouTube. But obviously preoccupied with the pup, but should hopefully be live soon enough. And maybe I'll see Mr. Capolo pop in there and Mr. Kmore as well pop in and say, what's up? But yeah, that's where you can find me.
That's so you're pretty hip. You're getting Gen Z's like Capolo in there.
There you go.
There you go. Big up. Big up.
Watching that YouTube TV. I'll be live on YouTube TV.
YouTube. All right. TV.
Capolo. Yeah.